Program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Mark Hausman. Mark is the CEO and president of the Strategic Communications Group, and you can find them at gotostrategic.com. Mark, welcome to the show, man.
Hi, good morning, Mark. Thank you.
Good to have you. I've been meaning to have you for a while, and our schedules just haven't worked out, so we're doing this on the phone, not live here. So you're gonna have to send in a headshot for us.
Yeah, no problem on that. I certainly have a lot of good images I can forward to you.
There you go. Just make sure it's you. Mark, give us a little background on you, and then Strategic Communications Group, and then we're gonna do a fairly deep dive into social media in this market.
Sounds good. You know, I like to think that I actually have somewhat of an interesting background for the Washington, D.C. area, the fact that I was raised here in D.C. My father is a career attorney with the Office of Immigration Litigation, which is still part of the Department of Commerce. So I was raised in Silver Spring, Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C., got a journalism degree from the University of Maryland.
Where'd you go to high school?
I actually went to John F. Kennedy High School.
Okay, I went to Einstein.
Okay, well, that's right. So very much neighbors.
We're local boys.
That's right. And, you know, it is interesting in this area because, you know, D.C. being so government-dominated is a very transient community, at least from a business perspective. You have a lot of people that come into the area because of the professional opportunities afforded to you because of the federal government. I was actually born, raised here, went to university at Maryland where I got a journalism degree. And my first job out of school, I actually worked in the communications office for Giant Food when it was still owned by the Cohen family.
Oh, yeah.
So what's happened to Giant now?
Izzy Cohen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a great first job. I was assigned to the deli section. So the first 6 months of my career, I actually spent a lot of time writing radio spots about lunch meat.
Were you in retail clerks?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Were you in Local 400?
No, I was not.
Okay, so it wasn't Union Shop then?
No. I was in the corporate office.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So I was a copywriter, an advertising copywriter, and spent about 6 months writing about deli specials and realized that, you know, you kind of get pigeonholed in certain careers. I didn't want to spend my career trying to describe
bologna.
Bologna or turkey in a very interesting way. So I ended up getting into public relations, marketing, and communications, doing work in the early 1990s for government contractors who at the time were looking to commercialize some of their solutions. So if you recall, after the Reagan defense built up and during the first Clinton administration, there was kind of a pullback in government spending. And so you had all of these beltway bandits that were starting to look at other market opportunities. And that's how I got into this industry.
Cool.
And so admittedly, having been raised in the Washington, D.C. area, having gone to school at Maryland and then stayed here professionally, I had never really taken a life risk. And so in my mid-20s, I thought I knew probably more than I actually did. I wasn't married at the time. I was living with a group of buddies in a house in Rockville. So my personal expenses were about $200 a month. And I decided that would be a great time to start a company. And so that's where Strategic Communications Group came from. And we've now been in business for more than 15 years. And have
What year did you start?
I started in 1996, January 1996.
There you go.
When we started in business. And we've also had a very interesting corporate history. So started out doing a lot of marketing, advertising, public relations work, predominantly for technology clients, and spent the first couple of years kind of middling about, just kind of proving we could be in business. And then this wonderful thing happened called the dot-com explosion. And we were right there in the right place at the right time. And so I did my fair share of dot-com startups, providing public relations, marketing, ad services. I did a company that was providing piano lessons over the web. That was an interesting play.
Whoa.
My favorite client story is I was representing a company that was trying to turn the screensaver into a delivery medium for content. So, Mark, your screensaver would pop on and it would be an ad for Lexus. And, you know, we thought it was a great idea. They had raised a couple million dollars in venture capital. And during our first kind of analyst briefing, the analyst from Gartner raised a very interesting point when she said, you know, when my screensaver pops on, I'm actually not at the computer. So sure enough, that wasn't an idea that really took off.
But when she comes back, it's there.
Well, yeah, that's right. But the second you touch anything, you know, the screensaver goes away.
Right.
But, you know, hey, that's what defined that dot-com era. Great, great idea, not so great on the execution. But, you know, we went through that interesting time. But government, or I should say representation of the vendor community that sells into the public sector, has always been a core part of our business. So I have had the great fortune of working for a number of very prestigious government contractors, software companies, security companies.
You can name a few if you want.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I've worked for, you know, perhaps my first, you know, most significant client engagement, this goes back probably about 7 or 8 years, was I did a lot of work for American Management Systems. And this was before the company was broken apart and sold to a couple of other different organizations. And
AMS used to do the financial management. And,
in fact, that was the group that I worked for.
Okay.
A wonderful product called Momentum.
Yep.
And so, you know, I've always had a strong interest in working with organizations that were selling to both government as well as enterprise buyers. And it's predominantly been technology, software, telecommunications, professional services types of clients that I've been fortunate enough to represent.
You know, we're going to have some good conversations on this as this show progresses, because with the evolution of social media in this market, you and I both know that the influencers aren't always easy to reach and influence. So now we have this whole new set of tools. So let's talk a little bit about the evolution of social media in the government market community, because we're not early adopters.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, if someone had told me 4 years ago that defined my job as it is today, I just wouldn't have believed it. You know, I don't want to make an overly dramatic statement, but, you know, what's happened in the last couple of years, in my opinion, has been the most dramatic sea change in terms of how organizations, how vendors are communicating with their key audiences in government, whether they are existing customers or prospects or partners. But it's also been a fascinating transition in terms of how, you know, specific decision makers and influencers and executives within the public sector, both at the federal as well as at the state and local, actually identify different solutions of interest, actually look to go out and understand best practices and lessons learned. I mean, what I like to tell people is that this dramatic shift in influence from traditional sources of credibility, like the press, like conferences, like research firms, to discussions and conversations that are occurring in social networks and online communities is really nothing short of amazing. And I say this as someone who wasn't the earliest adopter. I mean, for a while, you know, I thought a lot of social media was people blogging about their cat, and there wasn't a lot of value to it. But, man, I have become a believer, and you know, the best way that I kind of define that is if you look at kind of my mix of services and where my firm's revenue comes from, if we were talking 3 years ago, I would tell you 90% of my business was still traditional communications, public relations, marketing, advertising-related work. 10% of it's social media. Well, that's completely flip-flopped. I mean, 90% of what we do right now is social media marketing, and it's for a mix of different companies, from product software vendors who are selling at the federal level to professional services systems integration companies that are selling at state and local to education, healthcare. I mean, it really has been a dramatic sea change in terms of how organizations have looked at social media as this interesting new channel and have appropriately used it as a vehicle to distribute interesting, informative content to those key audiences that can really make certain purchasing decisions or influence those decisions.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the key word, the content word. You have to provide enough information to entice the audience to think about your solution and then provide them more to justify your solution.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And I think, you know, Mark, one of the reasons why we've been successful in social media is because I actually defined it in a way that people can get their brains around and understand. Because, to be honest, it's new, which makes it intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't, you know, unlike other forms of communications where you can look at decades of best practices. So, you know, say you consider an advertising campaign. You can look at, you know, how other organizations have approached advertising over the last couple of decades and help that inform you in terms of making decisions. We don't have that in social media. So that newness intimidates people. But, you know, the other thing that intimidates people is all of these social media tools and technologies and networks and communities, they kind of all have funny names. And, you know, for folks that, you know, like myself, I mean, I'm 40, you know, people that have been working professionals for decades, you know, okay, well, Twitter, what exactly is that? You know, I mean, it can be a little bit intimidating just because of the names. And I think what consultants like myself have done is they've actually added to this confusion and complexity a little bit, because of course if you perceive it to be complex, you obviously then need a consultant to help you. And I think we've taken a different approach. My belief has been to really kind of simplify what social media is. And so here it is in 30 seconds. And I tend to tell this to people, and after 30 seconds they get this pretty well. So social media. I ask your listeners, if they look at their lives, both professionally and personally, I'm going to bet that the people that they surround themselves with all have a very similar background, a similar belief system, and a similar value set. So whether you are active in a professional organization like the Professional Services Council or Tech America or the Northern Virginia Technology Council or the Government Accountants Association, whether you are active in your alumni organization or your church group or your parent-teacher association, whatever it is, people tend to surround themselves with others who have these similar interests. I mean, that's human nature. That human nature migrated online. That's all social media is, with two very important differences. Not only have people formed groups around common themes and interests, but in a social environment, people self-identify. So through their profiles, they'll tell you a lot about who they are, where they work, what their decision-making responsibility is, where they've worked in the past. The second thing that's very interesting about social media is everyone leaves a digital footprint. So the communities that you're a part of, who you follow on Twitter, if you have a blog, who reads your blog, whose blog that you actually read. Everyone gives you an indication of what's important to them, not so much by always what they say, but how they spend their time.
My guest today is Mark Hausman. Mark is the CEO and president of the Strategic Communications Group. You can find him at go2strategic.com. When we come back, we're going to pursue this line of thought and look at some individual Web 2.0 tools. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arink.
I'm J.J. Green. The Pentagon houses approximately 26,000 personnel. It has five sides, five floors, two basement levels, and five rings per floor. Despite 17.5 miles of corridors, it takes a maximum of 7 minutes to walk between any two points in the building. Located just outside the nation's capital, its reach is far beyond the U.S. And if you have a story about issues related to the Pentagon or beyond, email me at jgreen@wtopnews.com.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Arink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Arink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, Dell, and Aview Technologies. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear the latest scoop on telework from the biggest executives in the federal government. Listen at 12 noon on Tuesday, November 16th, and hear Bill Piott from GSA and Pamela Buddha from DOD discuss success stories and initiatives to increase telework in federal agencies. Tune in at 12 noon, November 16th, to hear from top tech leaders from the federal government, Intel, HP, and Microsoft, to learn why telework is important for the future federal workforce. Hear the Fed's telework panel only on Federal News Radio, Tuesday, November 16th at 12 noon.
The Internet is more than just a technology. It's a domain, similar to the domains of land, air, sea, and space, but with its own distinct challenges. The cyber domain has national and international dimensions that include industry, trade, intellectual property, security, technology, culture, policy, and diplomacy. It includes all parts of the converged network, from computer networks to satellite communications, and is not bound by international borders. How can the United States shape the global cyber landscape to promote U.S. economic interests and develop a cyber domain that considers transparency, accessibility, security, and privacy? Listen to Cyber 2020, The Future of the Internet, as part of the Booz Allen Hamilton Expert Voices Panel Series, moderated by Executive Vice President Mike McConnell and featuring top government and commercial experts, November 17th at 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. For more information, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen, or visit boozallen.com/expert. Voices.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Mark Hausman. Mark is the CEO and president of the Strategic Communications Group. They're located in, is it Silver Spring, Maryland, right?
That's correct, Silver Spring, Maryland.
Downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. Let's get into some of the individual tools and exactly what they are, because, again, as you intimated, a lot of people still aren't that familiar. I think we know Facebook. But let's delve a little bit into what Twitter is and what it does, and then we'll migrate on to a few others.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Well, you know, first off, you know, things, you know, and it's interesting because I talk to a lot of people about, okay, so what actually is a blog or what actually is Twitter? And they're really nothing more than publishing platforms. So if you consider Twitter, which is a microblogging service, and it's obviously the most popular one, but there were a variety of other Twitter-like services a couple of years ago. So before I actually got onto Twitter, I tried out a service called Plurk, which ended up not really catching on.
Spell that.
P-L-U-R-K.
Okay.
Like, you know, all these great Web 2.0 sites have these interesting names, right?
Yep.
So, you know, people look at Twitter and they say, I don't get it. I mean, all you got to think of Twitter is really just a publishing platform for sound bites, 140 characters. And what's interesting about Twitter is, not only is it a publishing platform, but it's also the ability to access a community. And I think Twitter is now up over 6 million subscribers. I believe that's the number that they've recently reported. But when you look at Twitter, it's got some very interesting functionality because it's got the ability to actually tag the things that you put out there or your tweets. So you can actually tag things by certain topics that you're interested in. You can tag it by geography. You can tag it by certain issues. And it gives people the ability to use Twitter as a very interesting search vehicle to get a sense of what people are thinking about regarding a certain topic. So let me give you a great example. You know, yesterday, I guess it was the Carnival Cruise Line finally made it ashore. You know, this thing had been stuck out in the ocean for 4 days. And it was really interesting, if you looked at Twitter, to see kind of that emerge as a trending topic as people commented about different issues and news reports and experiences that they had that had happened related to that situation. So Twitter becomes not just a platform in which an individual can express their thoughts and views, but you can use Twitter to get a really good sense of, you know, what's going on in the marketplace? What are some of the trends that are really kind of rising to the top? And what do people think about those issues? The other thing that's very interesting about Twitter is they've recently added some location functionality. So there are a lot of organizations out there that will encourage people to tweet specifically about geographically where they are. And again, that gives somebody the ability to look at Twitter and get kind of a macro sense of, all right, here are people, you know, sharing information about certain ideas and thoughts, and, you know, geographically, here's where they are. And so, you know, from a government perspective, Twitter becomes an interesting tool, not just to share information, not just to follow certain people, but actually to get a sense of intelligence about how different issues are resonating across different types of communities and even different geographies. So, I mean, it really isn't just a, you know, I get this a lot of times when people say, Twitter, I don't really, you know, really care what you had for lunch. Well, you know, yeah, I'm not tweeting about what I had for lunch. I mean, I specifically use Twitter as a vehicle to both publish information about different things that are important to me and different things that my clients may be doing. But I also use it, again, as this intelligence vehicle to really understand, okay, what are some of the issues that are out there? Where are they resonating? And how does that then impact some of the things that I'm trying to accomplish professionally?
What's your Twitter handle?
I am www.twitter.com twitter.com/strategicguy.
So at strategic guy.
That's correct.
Cool. LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. So let's talk about social networks for a second, because that's a really good point. And Mark, you know, I'm sure your listeners know that you're kind of what I like to call a power user when it comes to LinkedIn.
I have to focus somewhere.
Yeah, right? There are three different types of social networks or online communities that I have found to be very relevant. The first is the horizontal ones. And so Facebook and LinkedIn being, you know, the two most prominent. You know, Facebook is more personal-oriented, LinkedIn more professional-oriented. And, you know, and I know a lot of people that have taken a first step and have just joined these communities but don't really use them to their full advantage. So when you look at LinkedIn, let's stick with that for a second. Not only is it important to join and create a profile and tell a little bit of people about who you are, but man, the group functionality in LinkedIn is just fabulous.
It's, we follow each other throughout there, and you know, there's a couple of dozen people in the government market, I think, that really stand out on LinkedIn.
It is. I mean, and I get so much value not just from following individuals, but really participating. I'm a member of 50 different groups, and they're different marketing groups and public relations and social media and Washington, D.C. business and public sector-oriented groups. And it really is interesting that people actually use that group functionality to query the community, query that specific group about different issues or challenges or best practices that they're interested in. And so not only is it a way to connect with people, but again, it is such a wonderful resource for, you know, different types of thought leadership content and best practices that, to be honest with you, help me do my job better. You can say the same thing about Facebook. I mean, I tend to use it more for personal reasons. So my Facebook participation is very family-oriented, but I know a lot of people who use Facebook for more professional reasons. And so ultimately, you've got to make a decision as to how to best use some of these horizontal networks like Facebook and LinkedIn. The second type of community are the vertical-oriented social networks. And this is where GovLoop, which to me, you know, is one of perhaps the most influential vertical social network in the marketplace right now. And GovLoop, as many of your listeners may know, was started by a gentleman named Steve Ressler. He was working at the Department of Homeland Security at the time. He is now affiliated with a company called GovDelivery. GovLoop, I believe they're up over 35,000 members. And it's predominantly public sector, federal, state, and local, and then you've got some vendor community included into the mix as well. And, you know, people describe it as, well, it's Facebook for feds. You know, I don't think that's actually accurate.
I think it's more LinkedIn for feds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people aren't posting photos of their barbecue on the weekend. It really is much more professional-oriented. Other vertical-oriented online communities that I think are very relevant for your listeners, and so full disclosure, these folks are actually a client of mine, GovWin, which is a property of Deltek, is specifically a social network and business platform for government contractors, systems integrators, professional service providers, technology vendors that are selling into the public sector. And the mission of GovWin is very simple. Deltek invests a lot of resources to create an environment where government contractors can be more successful both pursuing, winning, and then delivering on government contracts.
Yeah, witness the purchase of input.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, and people kind of scratch their heads a little bit and said, well, what's Deltek thinking? I mean, you know, and again,
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, and Deltek is a client of mine, so full disclosure, but it really was a brilliant play because it gives them the ability to overlay the very rich analysis and content that Input is developing on an ongoing basis and deliver that now through their GovWin platform, which, again, just makes that platform so much more valuable. It's free to join. All of these social networks are. And so, you know, really kind of the first step that I encourage people to do is join, look at some of the different groups, and then just follow the discussion. See
well,
what's
yeah,
going on.
Find somebody to follow who uses it well and model your activity there.
Right. So. The third type of social network that I think is relevant are there are a number of different media-sponsored social networks that I have gotten a lot of value from. And I'll use CIO Magazine as an example. They have a social network which is www.advice.cio.com. And just like Facebook or LinkedIn or GovLoop or GovWin, you can create a profile, you can join different groups, and then you can follow conversations around topics and themes.
Is that built on the Ning platform too?
I don't know how CIO built it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I don't know the technical infrastructure that they use.
I'm not a fan of the Ning platform.
Yeah, well,
It's got some limitations.
Yeah, you know, and then kind of, hey, it's free until now we actually have to
right.
make money. So now we're going to hit you out with a cost. Yeah, you know.
Andreessen's no fool.
Yeah, well, that's right. So I'm not sure how CIO built their network, but, you know, it's very interesting because they marry the content from the editorial side with user-generated content to create a very interesting and informative experience.
Okay.
And there is a lot of public sector, government-oriented content on advice.cio.com as well. So those are kind of the three social networks that we tend to get really involved in on behalf of our clients.
My guest today is Mark Hausman. Mark is the CEO and president of the Strategic Communications Group. You can find him at gotostrategic.com. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Thursday, November 18th at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. Our program this month will discuss cloud computing initiatives in the federal government. The panel includes government leaders from the U.S. Army, DISA, and NIST. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum on Thursday, November 18th at noon, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by McAfee, Riverbed, and Red Hat.
The underlying battle is trying to lay out the framework for how we're going to deliver services over the internet without saturating the backbone, and do it in a way that you don't censor the internet, which is what net neutrality is getting at, but simply try to moderate bandwidth in a way which is fair.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What will happen to your hard-earned wealth after you die? How do you protect your assets for your family? Will your heirs squander it away? Will creditors and predators try to take it away from your loved ones? At Zelle Law, our goal is to give you peace of mind in planning for your retirement and beyond by helping you construct the best life and estate plans customized to your needs. Find out what you need to know on Blueprint for Wealth. Join me, Wayne Zell, Saturdays at 10 a.m. right here on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio.
Hockey season is here. The Caps are back to work. Can you feel the excitement building? Caps fans, don't miss out on an Eastern Conference battle as the Caps take on top goalie Ryan Miller and the Buffalo Sabres on Wednesday, November 17th at 7 p.m. Tickets are extremely limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to WashingtonCaps.com now and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Leading the way to better vision, United Healthcare Vision understands the importance of good eyesight for you and your family. That's why their vision programs offer federal enrollees and their families a convenient mix of independent and retail providers and industry-leading benefits for glasses, contacts, and discounts on LASIK procedures. United Healthcare Vision is the clear choice. In fact, 9 out of 10 United Healthcare Vision Fed VIP members would recommend their plan to family and friends. The Fed VIP open season period for federal employees and retirees runs through December 13th. Don't miss out on this opportunity to protect your most precious gift, the gift of sight. For more information about their benefit plans and how to enroll, visit United Healthcare Vision at myuhcvision.com/fedvip. That's myuhcvision.com/fedvip. If you want industry-leading vision benefits and a convenient provider network, look no further than United Healthcare. This open season.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Mark Hausman, who is the CEO and president of the Strategic Communication Group. Mark, let's talk about some of the other Web 2.0 tools that are out there and how they integrate. So let's bounce around on webinars, blogs, podcasts, video on YouTube. Go wherever you want with this, and then let's start talking about how people are using it and why people are using it.
Sure thing. You know, so Web 2.0, what does that exactly mean? And you know, the way that I define it for folks, again, I really like to keep things very simple and talk about this new social media phenomenon in English. So, you know, when you look at Web 2.0, really, I mean, it truly is a web in the sense that the open standards that all of these different tools and platforms and environments use give you the ability to kind of connect everything together. And let me use me as an example. So I have a blog. It's called the Strategic Guy Blog.
And it's a good blog.
Yep, you can find it at www.strategicguy.blogspot.com. So I have built my blog using a free software called Blogger, which Google produces.
Right. And I use the same one.
Very easy to use. I'm not a techie. I'm not an engineer. It was very easy to create the blog, to use it as a publishing platform. But what's interesting about Blogger, and this is true of other blog platforms out there like WordPress or Typepad, is you're able to actually integrate your blog with other types of tools and environments to share information across multiple platforms. So if you go to my blog, you can actually find my Twitter feed there. You can find a connection to my LinkedIn profile. You can find a connection to other sources of information that I find of interest and of value. So my blog gives really kind of a full presentation of what it is that I feel is important in the marketplace, what are some of the issues and topics and trends that I write about, and then through kind of the produce content once and then distribute across multiple different platforms, what social media or Web 2.0 allows you to do is in a very convenient, cost-effective manner, reach multiple different audiences, not based on where I want them to go, but based on where they're already participating. So, for instance, I may have readers that are interested in receiving my blog by email. It's easy to sign up for it off my blog to get it by email. I have readers that may be interested in actually having my blog pushed to them via an RSS feed. It's easy to do that as well. Or I may even have readers that have an interest in coming to my blog every day and then seeing what I've got going on in terms of Twitter. And that's all accessible in one place. So how this translates for your listeners is in two ways. One, for a specific government agency, Web 2.0 serves as a wonderful platform, a wonderful publishing vehicle to reach a broad section of their key constituents in a very convenient and, again, cost-effective manner. So you don't have to do 12 different things. You can do something once and then through Web 2.0 communicate with all of these different audiences almost in a seamless manner. For the government contracting community, what Web 2.0 allows them to do is, again, share information with all of their key constituents, whether it is employees, whether it's investors, whether it's partners, whether it's their customers or specific prospects in the government marketplace. They are able to reach all these different communities through these social channels, and you really only have to publish content in one place at one time.
You know, I use that to some degree. I'm going to have to go back and revisit, make sure that I'm maximizing that particular value. Let's boogie on to podcasts.
Ah, podcasts. So, you know, it's interesting viewing social media at some level as a publishing environment where you are trying to share. You're not, you know, and we're very careful. I mean, we always tell people, you know, social media is not about spam. I mean, you're not hitting people up with a hard sell. Really what it's about is, you know, we talk about thought leadership in the kind of the marketing PR world. And really all that is here's what I think and why I think these things and why we feel it's important. And then you kind of interject that with best practices and lessons learned. So the experience someone has in terms of reading your social media content is it helps them accomplish what they're trying to accomplish professionally more quickly, more successfully. They get a lot of value from spending time with you in an online environment. So when you look at, you know, podcasts, that is a great way of actually delivering content in a format that people find it very easy to digest. And we actually use a service here. It's a free service called Blog Talk Radio. And Blog Talk Radio allows an individual to create a podcast over a standard telephone. Very easy to use. It's very convenient. And you can create 5, 10, 15-minute podcasts, and there isn't a huge technical infrastructure requirement. It's easy to then publish those podcasts in a variety of different social environments so people can download it and then listen to it when they desire to, when they want to.
Right. I often view podcasts as potentially audio white papers. You take one topic, you run it for about 10 minutes, and it's a different format than the white paper. A lot of people don't have that much time to read, but their drive time or walk time is certainly available.
The same, and I think you could say the same thing about video. You know, we
hope they don't use it in drive time.
Well, no. We certainly don't want to do that. But, you know, if you look at the amount of video traffic now over the internet, I mean, that's going to continue to scale. I mean, the, you know, companies like Cisco and Juniper Networks are really kind of betting their future on the increased, you know, network, the increased demands that are going to be placed on the network because of video. And YouTube, I mean, YouTube is a wonderful vehicle. I mean, I think some of the, you know, statistics I've heard from YouTube is there's, you know, a tremendous amount of video uploaded, you know, from the exact number I heard, I think it's like 10 hours of new video uploaded every minute of every day onto YouTube.
I'd be surprised if it was less than that.
Yeah, you know, and it's not just, you know, kind of weird, you know, the dancing cat videos. I mean, there is a great resource available video. And here, you know, let me give you a great example. Whenever I have a home improvement project, I'm not the handiest guy, but I, you know, I try to do some things around the house. My first stop is always YouTube, and I type in the words how to and whatever I'm trying to accomplish.
Bingo.
And you would be amazed the amount of exceptional video content that's out there that can really walk you through certain steps. And the same is true across a variety of different professional requirements as well. I mean, you see some very rich video content related to enterprise resource planning software, information security. And so I encourage all of your listeners, the next time they're looking at some type of professional requirement, just go to YouTube. Type in how to and whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. You may be amazed with what you're able to find. And so a lot of our clients are actually producing content now, not just traditional blog posts, but they're taking a multimedia environment where they're producing podcasts, they're producing video, they're really presenting information in a variety of different formats, because again, what social media is all about is not, hey, I'm going to force you to digest the information how I want you to digest it. It's more of, here's the information in a couple of different ways, in a couple of different environments. You choose where you want to read it. That's really kind of the power of social media.
Cool.
Now, one last piece of advice on that front, and this is what I tell people all the time. So the key thing when it comes to content in a social environment is keep it concise. So with what we found with video, for every 30 seconds over 2 minutes, your amount of viewership goes down 10%. With a blog post, the number of words, you know, 200 words is kind of the sweet spot. For every 50 words over 200, your readership goes down 10%. So really the key thing is
word per idea ratio.
Absolutely.
Bingo.
Keep it very concise, get to the point really quickly, make it engaging, make it educational, and at some level add a level of entertainment to it.
Cool. My guest today is Mark Hausman. Mark is the CEO and president of the Strategic Communication Group in Silver Spring, Maryland. You can find him at gotostrategic.com. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This week on Agency of the Month featuring the GSA is brought to you by Commercial Data Systems.
Kendra Turner is the Director of Industry Relations for the Public Building Service at GSA.
On Twitter and LinkedIn, we post every day, every single solicitation PBS puts out nationwide, and we do it to expand the distribution of the PBS message sort of at a grassroots level. We tweet about upcoming events that our programs will be participating in, and sometimes even GSA job announcements.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Commercial Data Systems is a small disadvantaged information technology systems integrator specializing in virtualization, cross-domain security, and database operations. With more than 25 years of contracting experience, CDS understands how to ease the procurement process for government clients. CDS offers GSA schedule purchasing with over 200,000 commercial off-the-shelf IT products, including a blanket purchase agreement for your Oracle hardware and software needs. To learn more, visit cdsinc.com. That's cdsinc.com.
HalfPriceDC.com. Half Price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy Half Price gift certificates to Studio 355 Hair and Day Spa. Award-winning stylists combine cutting-edge style with relaxation.
Saki Japanese Steakhouse in Laurel, specializing in Japanese cuisine and hibachi dinners, providing exceptional customer service and a wonderful dining experience. The Grilled Jamaican Eatery, savor a taste of the tropics.
See all the offers at halfpricedc.com.
If you can't communicate effectively, you can't get the job done. That's why government agencies turn to Avaya Government Solutions and AT&T. Unified communication solutions from Avaya and AT&T increase employee productivity, improve customer service, and cut costs by integrating multiple forms of communications across multi-vendor networks. Faster, more efficient, at a lower cost. The future of unified communications has arrived. Learn more at avayagov.com/GSA2010.
Connect with more than 800 fellow contract management professionals. The Government Contract Management Conference is a must-attend on December 9th and 10th. The National Contract Management Association presents more than 20 educational sessions to answer the most complex questions, plus prominent speakers from CACI, the Department of Defense, the Boeing Company, and more. To learn more, visit ncmahq.org today.
The Dorvec Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorvec. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorvec Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorvec Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is, Mark Hausman. Mark is the CEO and president of the Strategic Communication Group. You can find him at gotostrategic.com. Let's talk about a couple of companies or a couple of campaigns that use the social media really well. I know you have a couple queued up.
Absolutely. So, you know, the first one that I wanted to mention, this is a program that Cisco Systems, who is a client of ours, has been working on for the last couple of years. It's actually started by Tanberg, which is a video conferencing vendor that Cisco then acquired. And the site is breakdownthewalls.com. And this is what I like to refer to as a social media portal. So this site has content, best practices, thought leadership content, organized into a couple of different buckets, specifically for federal agencies, state and local municipalities, education, as well as healthcare. And, you know, it's a great example of social media as a publishing platform because it isn't so much about how great the video conferencing products are and their features and functionality. Rather, it's a discussion of some of the interesting and new emerging applications of conferencing in a public sector environment. So there's a lot of very rich, informative content about things related to telejustice, telemedicine, things related to telework. And it's more of, here are how educational institutions, federal agencies, state and local municipalities are using conferencing, using video conferencing technology in unique and innovative ways to help them fulfill their mission. And I'll give you a great example. After the terrible earthquake in Haiti a number of months ago, there were some very unique injuries that people suffered, and there were only a certain number of medical experts in the world that could help patients deal with certain injuries, and I mean, they physically weren't going to go to Haiti, so how was medical care provided to certain wounded individuals there? What was provided over video conferencing? And so we were able to write some very interesting posts and develop some very interesting content that wasn't so much, hey, let me tell you about how great our products are. It was more of, here's how video conferencing is being used every day by individuals like yourself. And so, yes, Cisco Systems has an agenda. At the end of the day, they want to sell more video conferencing gear. Everybody gets that. But the experience of the site should really be more about, oh, so these are some interesting ways that conferencing could be used, and this information just happens to be brought to you by Cisco.
Bingo.
A second example is a program that I work on behalf of Microsoft. And the program is called Gov2Social. Kristen Bacchius, which you can find at gov2social.com. And this is another interesting program in that Gov2Social is a directory organized by geography of the social media engagement of every single state and local municipality in the country. So unlike, it's not federal, this is more state and local oriented.
Right.
So you can go to gov2social.com. It's built on Microsoft Azure platform, and you can basically click on different states to figure out, okay, well, what are some of the local municipalities in the state of Virginia doing with social media? Are any of them blogging? Are any local municipalities on Twitter? Are they using YouTube in an interesting or innovative way? And what Microsoft has done is they've compiled, both on their own as well as through user-submitted content, this wonderful directory, and the mission of the site is really to help state and local municipalities figure out, are people using social media? Are people like me in different parts of the country using social media in ways that could apply to how I run my organization? And so, again, it's very best practices, lessons learned oriented, and it's received a tremendous response because people, state and local agencies, are now viewing this as a very interesting resource, so they don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can understand, well, geez, if this is working in the state of North Carolina, could we do something here in Wyoming, and does that track to basically what our mission is?
You know, Kristen and I hooked up on LinkedIn at least a year ago, maybe longer, and I follow a lot of what she does, and she does some really extraordinary work across a variety of Web 2.0 platforms on this stuff, and it's really just cool to watch.
It is. I mean, she's been a wonderful client to work for the last couple of years. You know, I mean, and like I said, I mean, they pay me, so I mean, full disclosure.
Yeah.
But you know, Microsoft in general has been very forward-thinking and innovative in terms of not, okay, how can we use social media to kind of sell more stuff, but we have a responsibility to the customers that we support in the public sector. Can we use this new channel as a way to kind of share all of the experiences and best practices that our customers have to help them be more successful? And Gov2Social is an example of that mission basically being executed through social media.
Right. Let's migrate on to a couple of people. And I want to preface this by saying, if you really want to learn how to use social media tools, Web 2.0 tools, find a couple people to follow. Mark Hausman is one of those people. That's why he's on the show today. So if you're not connected with him on LinkedIn, it doesn't stop you from following him on LinkedIn. And I don't know what your policy is on connecting with people. I'm open to connecting with people in the government market. So I'm not an open networker, but I'm an open government networker.
Right.
That's why you're here. But let's talk a little bit about what Dorabeck does on various platforms.
Well, now, you know, Chris, you know, really has done an exceptional job of transitioning from being, you know, kind of a traditional member of the media.
Print
guy. And he was very well respected, yep. 1105, to being, you know, what I like to describe as not just, you know, a media participant and influencer there, but really kind of a social media power user. So if you look at what he's doing from a blog perspective, if you look at what he's doing with both photos that he takes, you know, and then kind of uploads onto his Flickr stream, he's recognized that, you know, there are different channels to reach people, both traditional as well as social, and he's going to play in all of those and do so efficiently. The other thing, and I think this is probably most important about Chris and why, you know, he's been such a good person to emulate. At least, you know, we look at some of the things he's doing and try to ask ourselves, how does that apply to the representation that we're doing for our clients? Is he gets the fact that social media content is all about what I like to refer to as the three E's. Yes, you have to engage. Yes, you have to educate. But at some level, you have to entertain. And I'm not talking about, you know, trying to be a Saturday Night Live skit and try to be funny. But, you know, what Chris does very well is he makes the experience that you have, whether it's his radio program or his blog, there's a level of entertainment to it as well. It's an enjoyable experience to follow him, to look at the content that he's publishing. And that makes it very interesting and engaging. And that's the reason why he's generated such a strong following.
So right. And when you see his name, you're more prone to listen in or read or whichever platform he's using than not.
Absolutely. He's able to get a message across, but do it in a way that is very consumable for most people. And in essence, that is the most important thing. So whether you're a government agency, whether you're a for-profit venture, whether you're an association or not-for-profit, I mean, that is a key lesson to understand, that this is not just taking white papers and pushing it out through social networks. That at some level, you've got to understand, I've got to grab the attention of the audience that I'm trying to reach. I've got to share some very relevant information, but I've got to do it in a way that they can actually consume and enjoy spending time with me. And, you know, and that's something that a lot of organizations struggle with. And I think if you look at individuals like Chris, you know, he's really gotten it. I mean, he understands that his job is not just to educate, to inform, but to do it in a way that people say, you know, hey, it was an enjoyable experience to actually spend 15 minutes on his blog or listening to his radio program or following him on Twitter.
Yep, you know, that's the name of the game. There was a lot of other things, a lot of other people, a lot of other programs that I'd like to discuss, so we'll have to do it on another show. Mark, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful morning, and very much enjoyed it.
You take care. You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Mark Hausman, President and CEO of the Strategic Communication Group. You can find Mark at gotostrategic.com. This is not my day job. Check out my new book, Selling to the Government. It's coming out in December. You can pre-order it now at amazon.com, Selling to the Government. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center. AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
I'm J.J. Green. The Pentagon houses approximately 26,000 personnel. It has five sides, five floors, two basement levels, and five rings per floor. Despite 17.5 miles of corridors, it takes a maximum of 7 minutes to walk between any two points in the building. Located just outside the nation's capital, its reach is far beyond the U.S. And if you have a story about issues related to the Pentagon or beyond, email me at jgreen@wtopnews.com.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Airink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Airink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
The Internet is more than just a technology. It's a domain, similar to the domains of land, air, sea, and space, but with its own distinct challenges. The cyber domain has national and international dimensions that include industry, trade, intellectual property, security, technology, culture, policy, and diplomacy. It includes all parts of the converged network, from computer networks to satellite communications, and is not bound by international borders. How can the United States shape the global cyber landscape to promote U.S. economic interests and develop a cyber domain that considers transparency, accessibility, security, and privacy? Listen to Cyber 2020, The Future of the Internet, as part of the Booz Allen Hamilton Expert Voices panel series, moderated by Executive Vice President Mike McConnell and featuring top government and commercial experts, November 17th at 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. For more information, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen, or visit boozallen.com/expert. Voices.
This week on Agency of the Month featuring the GSA is brought to you by Commercial Data Systems.
Kendra Turner is the Director of Industry Relations for the Public Building Service at GSA.
As a general rule, PBS doesn't buy products. We buy services. One of my famous funny lines when I speak to vendor groups is that PBS doesn't buy toilet paper. And for some reason, that line gets remembered, and it really drives the point home. We show the vendors how to find out who our current service contractors are. Then they can market their products to those vendors.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Commercial Data Systems is a small disadvantaged information technology systems integrator specializing in virtualization, cross-domain security, and database operations. With more than 25 years of contracting experience, CDS understands how to ease the procurement process for government clients. CDS offers GSA schedule purchasing with over 200,000 commercial off-the-shelf IT products, including a blanket purchase agreement for your Oracle hardware and software needs. To learn more, visit cdsinc.com. That's cdsinc.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community.